Hello everyone, I'm a recovering addict named Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Welcome to the workshop entitled Spiritual, Not Religious, Steps 1, 2, and 3. Will you please help me open with a moment of silence for the addict who still suffers, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Can we please have the reading of We Do Recover up here, please?
My name's Nabil, I'm an addict.
Hey, Nabil.
We do recover. When at the end of the road, we find that we can no longer function as a human being, either with or without drugs, we all face the same dilemma. What is there left to do? There seems to be this alternative. Either go on as best we can to the bitter ends, jails, institutions, or death, or find a new way to live. In years gone by, very few addicts ever had this last choice. Those who are addicted today are more fortunate. For the first time in man's entire history, the simple way has been proving itself in the lives of many addicts. It is available to us all. This is a simple, spiritual, not religious program known as Narcotics Anonymous.
Thank you.
Thanks for reading. All right, with that, I would like to introduce our first speaker, Jason S. from the Just for Thursday group of Narcotics Anonymous in the North Pittsburgh area of NA.
All right.
All right. All right. Thank you, and it's good to be here. My name is Jason. I'm an addict. And, you know, I was talking to these guys over there. They weren't sure who Jason S. was. Somebody said it's the guy who looks like a cop. And so I'm not too into that that image. Rest assured, I'm here as a recovering addict. I'm grateful to be asked to be here. And it's a beautiful place. I've never been here before. It's a beautiful day. And you know, I can, the other night at a meeting, I brought up the topic looking at the things that are going well, not the things that aren't. And I have a tendency to be a grass is greener on the other side guy. But as I drove up here today, I was thinking about all the things I have to be grateful for. And you know, this is certainly one of them, to be able to get up in the morning and drive here from Northern Allegheny County to be with you all and to share a little bit of a message on the first, second, third steps. So that's what I'm going to talk about, my experience with them and what the program has taught me about them. You know, I've been at this for several years. And, you know, we're also talking over there about working steps, when we work steps. And I think my experience is, and most of us would agree, that while we formally work a step, we never stop applying the principles that were taught in the step. In fact, I prefer to look at it not so much as working the step, but applying the principles that are taught to us in the steps in all of our affairs. And that's what I try to do. So, and you know, I'm grateful to have the opportunity to work these steps with a bunch of sponsees as well over the years. So, you know, I'm going to share with you my experience in doing that. You know, the first step, we admitted we were powerless over our addiction and our lives had become unmanageable. What's interesting is over the years, my understanding of the steps and the principles in them has evolved. What I thought I knew in the early days of my early recovery have evolved and changed as I've continued to practice the program. And you know, I believe what our basic text tells us, and that is that as it relates to step one, and that is that the use of drugs is a symptom of the disease of addiction. And the disease of addiction really is obsession, compulsion, and self-centeredness. And I really latched on to that, and I hold on to it today, especially when we think about acceptance and surrender that we really talk about in the first step. I'm a guy who likes to beat himself up, like most of us. You know, I like to take the bad out and beat myself and say, you're not good enough, you're not doing this well enough, you're not doing that well enough. When are you going to stop thinking this way? When is your perspective going to completely change? And when are you going to stop tending to look at things the way you always have? Now, you know, make no mistake, I've made great strides in the years that I've been here, but I tend to beat myself up. And if I accept that I'm an addict and that the disease of addiction is incurable and that the disease of addiction is obsession, compulsion, and self-centeredness, that means those three things are part of my fabric. That inherently, I have a tendency to obsess, act compulsively, and be self-centered. Now, the disease can be arrested, it is incurable, but when I look at that and I say, okay, this is a part of who I am. It doesn't justify me acting out on my character defects because I've been around long enough to have the tools to try to manage those. Basically, because I have the disease of addiction and because I have a tendency to be obsessive, compulsive, and self-centeredness, it doesn't give me a free pass to act like an asshole this day and age. But it does relieve some of that heavy burden that I put on myself. Asking myself, why? Why are you this way? Well, that's who I am, and that's how I was born and made, whatever you want to say. So when I can accept that I'm an addict, you know, at the core, accept that part of my fabric tends to obsession, compulsion, and self-centeredness, makes it easier for me to accept who I am. It takes some of that energy out of the desire to beat myself up all the time for this distorted image or distorted perception of continually falling short. So, you know, that has been a real evolution for me over time. You know, when I first came around, I remember a guy one time who I knew from the other fellowship. I would occasionally cross paths with him, and one time he asked me, well, what step are you on? And I said, oh, I'm still working on the first step. And he, you know, he expressed some surprise and said, wow, I thought you would have been further along by now. And, you know, one of the reasons I wasn't was because I was an overanalyzer, an overthinker, and I was really looking for a way to differentiate myself from all of us, be different, not the same. You know, what we talk about, look at the similarities, not the differences. And as I went through that first step, man, I was trying to find every difference to give me an excuse to get out the door. You know, I looked at unmanageability at that time as an inability to meet my personal responsibilities. You know, I think we can all agree that having no money to pay our bills, having no place to live, getting up with one obsession and one goal to find a ways and means to continue to use, I think we would all talk about that and agree that's unmanageability. But as I've stuck around and as my experience has shown me, both my own and others, and as I've evolved in the program, you know, a manageable life to me today looks like an ability to have meaningful relationships. I can do all the table stakes, if you will. I can write the check to pay the bill. I can go to the grocery store. You know, I can show up at work. I can do what I'm responsible for doing at work most of the time. But can I be an active partner in my relationships? Whether they're intimate, whether they're family, whether they're friends, whether they're employer, employee. I mean, that's manageability to me. You know, relationships are hard, and having open communication and realistic expectations and communicating those expectations and dealing with disagreement or argument, but also being able to be intimate and vulnerable and express love. Those are some of the hardest things really in my life today, and the program allows me to better manage those kinds of relationships, not to, as I've had a history of doing, place expectations on a girlfriend, for example, not communicate them, actually unrealistic expectations, she doesn't meet them, now I resent her, and now she's on eggshells and has no idea why. That was my idea of managing a relationship. So, you know, these are the things that I've learned in my time here about the first step and about acceptance and about surrender and what manageability looks like. I have the opportunity to work with a couple sponsees these days, and it's really interesting to see where they're at and see myself in them at those early days when, you know, couldn't quite grasp what the program was teaching me, and you know, today to come to a point where, you know, this makes sense to me in my life. This makes sense to me today as a roadmap for how I go about my life. And like many of us, I certainly would not stand here before you and say that I do it perfectly. In fact, you know, because of who I am, you know, many days I continue to tell myself, you got to do better. But it is 180 degrees from where I once was. And I'm only going to look at my phone because I want to be respectful of the time and the request to stay within the time I've been given. You know, I think about the second step as well. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And, you know, long time ago when I worked that step, I held on to this idea that if I continued to do what I was doing, I would continue to get what I was getting. And in those early days, as I, you know, sometimes struggle to completely surrender to the program and to follow the suggestions that my sponsor would give me, I would hold on to that. I would hold on to this idea relative to the second step that I had nothing to lose and everything to gain by committing to the program and surrendering to it. So coming to believe, I think, is you know, really what we all know it to be. They say, keep coming back. Look at the similarities, not the differences. You know, I can remember the first meeting I walked into was in the North Hills of Pittsburgh, Wednesday nights, Berkeley Hills. And I walked in there, you know, I was then, and I can still tend to be, an egomaniac with an inferiority complex. And I walked into that meeting, and you know, I kind of puffed up my chest like I was better than and more than, and I walked down into that basement and I said to myself, I can't believe I'm here with these people. Now today I will tell you that these people are the finest people that I have in my life, but at the time, you know, this egomaniac walks in there and you know, kept everybody at an arm's length, yet people still came up and welcomed me and told me to come back. And when I found a little bit of willingness to sit down and open my ears and my mind a little bit, I heard my story. You know, I heard you talk about the way you look at the world and the struggles that you have and the things that you had done. And while the details may not have been exactly the same, you know, the thinking was, and anybody in there could have been telling my story. And that was the beginning of me coming to believe that this power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. I mean, I rely on that power today. I'll go to step three in just a minute, but you know, really for me, the power greater than myself is right here. This is where it manifests itself most strongly. You know, you have the freedom to call God or define your God in whatever way you like. And I won't lie, I continue to evolve there too. And sometimes even continue to struggle with the idea of God. But I tell you, in these settings, this is where I see God, where I hear God, where I get my direction, and where I feel most spiritual. This is the foundation of the power greater than myself. My higher power. My higher power is you, is the meetings, is the literature that we have. It is prayer, it is meditation, and it is principle. It is the application of principle. We talk about conscious contact, not to get ahead of myself, but this idea of going through my day consciously connected to a higher power that has given me guidance and continues to give me guidance, that looks like me staying connected to you by phone, by coming to the meetings, by keeping you in my thoughts, by starting my day with a reading of Just for Today, the spiritual principle of the day, a short prayer, and some meditation. I mean, this to me is how I set the tone for my day. This is the power greater than myself, and this is what I try to stay connected to throughout the day, so that in these knee-jerk reaction moments, I have sometimes enough awareness, enough mindfulness, and enough of an ability to pause and to know that there's a better way to manage this particular issue that has just presented itself to me than default Jason. That is what the second step has come to mean for me. And, you know, my recovery goes as my meeting attendance goes. It's a domino effect. More meetings I'm at, the more willing I am to pray, the more willing I am to use my phone both to call and to answer, the more willing I am to read literature, the more willing I am to try, despite my inner being wanting to fight it, the more willing I am to try to apply principles. I get away from the meetings. I get to one meeting a week, I get to two meetings a week, and boom, it's a domino effect. There goes the prayer. There goes the desire to apply principles in all my affairs. There goes my tolerance of those around me, whether it's you or whether it's those outside of the program. My anchor to my higher power is the meetings. We've heard it said many times, we're fast forgetters. And I stay away from NA long enough, and pretty soon, all of the work that I put in almost 13 years can be forgotten like that. And so I believe that by continuing to come here, by listening to you, by being part of you, I can stay on this spiritual path that I'm on. In my last couple minutes, I'll talk a little bit about the third step. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. Just like the first step, just like the second step in my early recovery, my early days in here, I struggled mightily with this idea of how will I know what God's will is for me? Made it much more difficult than it needed to be. You know, I would overanalyze and ask the question, well, when I'm in this particular situation, how do I know, you know, what God wants me to do? And like all of the other principles and steps, my understanding has evolved with experience, with your experience, with my own experience. Doesn't have to be that complicated. We talk about, you know, intuition, how we feel in our gut, and once we get some time clean and a clear mind and some step work under us, we can start to rely a little bit more on that. But you know, for me, where I'm at today, quite simply, God's will for me is to live joyous, happy, and free. That is it. That's a pretty easy guideline. That's a pretty easy guideline for me to assess against day to day. Is this going to advance my joy, happiness, and freedom? Or is this going to make me afraid? Is this going to lock me up in resentment, anger, hatred, fear? Because I go there really easily. Very simple gauge, man. Joyous, happy, and free. That's a life I want to live. All of this sounds great, right? Conceptually on paper. Hey, man, yeah. Now, where the rubber meets the road, implementation, application, that's the challenge. But none of this happens overnight, and I've come to believe as well, and we've heard it said many times, man, recovery is a journey, and I expect to be on this journey for really the rest of my life. And I have seen great growth, although, you know, sometimes you get that tunnel vision on yourself, and you're like, man, I don't know if this is even working, but it is, when I get that outside perspective. Somebody hit me with a text the other day. I was at a meeting I hadn't been to in a while, and he was my first sponsor, and he'd relapsed a few times since, but he's got some years again, and he said, speaking of an egomaniac, he said, the first time I think I saw you come into the meeting where he saw me, you came in a suit. Now, I'll debate that. I don't think I had a tie on. But I was coming from work, surely. So he said, you had a suit on and you were high. And I said, man, that is a cringeworthy moment. I said, I guess I've made a lot of progress since then. He said, that's my point exactly. You've come so far. Left to my own devices, as we say, if I sit there by myself on the couch, just like, you know, this is a bad place to be by myself. If I sit there alone and don't get your perspective, pretty soon I can say, you know what, you ain't doing shit. You're not good enough. So I got to be here. And my whole point in saying all that is none of this is easy. Life on life's terms is not easy. And so, you know, I do my best to try to make the best decision I can with the information I have and knowing what the consequences of that decision potentially could be. Do I make the right decision all the time? No. Do I want to tend to manipulate to get to the outcome that I want? Absolutely. I continue to struggle today with this idea that we put the footwork in, but we let the outcome in God's hands. I think to myself, that's hard for me to do, man. I need to get to this outcome, and I'm going to get there. And so if plan A doesn't work, I'm going to B and to C and to D. And that doesn't cause me, that doesn't create a lot of joy in my life. Doesn't create a lot of freedom. Doesn't create a lot of happiness. It creates a lot of grief, a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, a lot of worry, causes me to cross people in ways that have the potential to affect my relationships long term, both personal and professional. And so, you know, I do none of this perfectly, but every day I try to set the tone by working my program in the morning, by staying connected to it, and, you know, putting one foot in front of the other, certainly with the help of you all. I'm going to wrap up. I really am grateful. You know, gratitude for me too was always a hard thing. I was a cynic, and I would hear people share about how grateful they were, and I think to myself, I don't feel that way, and I don't really believe they do. And over time, I've come to realize, and we say this about a lot of things, gratitude is an action word, and if you are grateful for something, you do the things that are necessary to take care of it, to maintain it, and to hold it in value as you would anything. And so if I'm grateful for my recovery, I come out here and speak when I'm asked, if I can. I continue to come to meetings. I continue to take calls. I took one on the way out here. None of this is to pat myself on the back, but instead is to say, if I'm going to say I'm grateful for this program, I better do the things that demonstrate my gratitude, because it is honest and it only serves to help me. So I really appreciate you all being here today, and it's a beautiful day to be at the retreat. Thank you very much.
All right, great.
Thank you. All right, thank you for sharing, Jason. I'd now like to introduce the second speaker, Phil M. from the Men in Recovery Group of NA in the SWANA area of Narcotics Anonymous.
Thank you.
good. You got it.
Phil Attic. Another applause for Jason here. That was good. And I'm glad he set the stage. Phil Addict, and I am a drug addict, and it's nice seeing everybody here, and I just love this setting. I do want to thank the retreat committee for picking me. Lower Highlands Retreat has always been a special place in my heart. I've been here since their day one when their retreat started, and just so many fond memories. And the members who are still here, the members have passed and gone. I've always loved coming to this retreat, you know, and I want to thank all the members who still are here putting it on, and it's still going on. And recovery is an ongoing process. But I'm just going to like end on Jason's note. Can we all open the meeting up with third step prayer, please? Many of us have said, take my will and my life. Guide me in my recovery. Show me how to live. And I can go back down to step one. Okay? Because the meeting is about spiritual, not religions and steps. And steps are our solution. And I love our solution that we have in Narcotics Anonymous because it's still up and down solution. You know, and there's nothing like it. Spiritual, not religious. I don't know. Well, the first thing when the committee called me, they said, "Can I speak on spiritual, not religious?" I says, "Okay, that's right up my alley." You know, I'm just one of the members here that I just believe our fellowship should just be what it is, and like our traditions say, Narcotics Anonymous all by itself is enough. You know, you a drug addict, you got this program. That's all you need to live and survive in this world. And I have proof of it. For the few cups of coffee I've been here and drank, I have proof of that. This is a program for drug addicts. I'm a drug addict, and I do need this program. Hey, Nick, how you doing, babe? Good seeing ya. But anyway, then when I get here, they tell me they want it tied to step one, two, and three. And then I had my Living Clean book with Spiritual Not Religious, and I had read it, and I said, I'll just do what's in all that. And they said, tie to one, two, and three. So I can do that too. You know, recovery is a ongoing process, and tying it to step one. I'm a drug addict, and I know spiritual, not religious, with our program, and it being a spiritual program, it does get twisted with other things in this world. For whatever reason, it does, because our program is written with divine precepts, which are all good things to regulate our thinking. And that's how our members are written by drug addicts. For us, I'm a drug addict. How they designed it for us. And since it was written that way with those precepts, and they are divine precepts, they regulate our thinking. And then with the steps, I need to talk about our traditions too, because our steps and traditions are married. They're married, so I need to talk a little bit about them too, because I get high, we stay clean. Day one, it was with we. I'm standing here in front of all you today. It's with we. I'm not here by myself. Okay, I didn't start this process by myself. I'm not here today by myself. I don't want to do it by myself. But anyway, I use way past my expiration date, spiritual, not religious, the God thing. I'll speak from our traditions, you know, our traditions say, and I'm not, because I can't even change them. It says that Narcotics Anonymous is still a God-given program. I can't even negotiate that. And for drug addicts, given to for drug addicts, written by us, for us, for us. So I got all that out of the way. But in the step one, spiritual, not religious, step one, so many spiritual principles are in step one that, and our spiritual principles are they're all good, and they're all blessings, and worked and applied, I'm gonna get somewhere. I don't know what you folks are gonna do. I need to talk about me. I'm going to get somewhere in this world positive. I think they're all blessings to do. I want to live a blessed life. I want to live in blessings. I don't want to be a messing, you know. And I have the opportunity to do that in Narcotics Anonymous and with our program written for drug addicts by drug addicts. Figure that one out. How crazy that even sounds, huh? This sounds crazy, but it's written so simply that it works. When I got here, I was tore up from the floor up, needing to check up from the neck up. Okay? And I can still be that way if I don't have a program. Okay? So step one, there's just so many... I'll speak about spiritual principles in it. Me admitting. That's the first thing I had to do when I got here was to admit. The literature says I always have to admit. If I'm going to keep this thing, I'm always going to have to admit. And as long as I admit, I get to keep this thing. So I'm going to keep admitting it. And I know what I am. A drug addict through and through. So I've like made that admission and getting here. Like I said, my life was a mess here, and then you know, getting a sponsor, you got to work. You need to work steps and things like this. So we do recover. So yeah, I had to admit that's what I am. I probably didn't have to admit. Probably people could look at me when I come through the door and knew what I was. Probably as soon as I walked in the door, they knew exactly what I was. But I have to admit it for me. And I had to admit that to all of you, and that's where the process starts. That's where the healing has started for me. And I remember even saying the first time, I'm a drug addict. My name's Phil in front of all these people. Hugs instead of drugs meeting. They put a knife in me. I said that. That came out of me. I'm very okay with it now. I can admit it all day long. But anyway, I have to come clean first. I gotta be clean. They wanted me clean day one. They want me clean today, to this present day. I don't need to forget that spiritual principle, which we talk about. You got to come be clean first. And being cleanliness goes a long way. That goes a long way in life. More so than just not taking the drugs. That's very important for us. Number one for us, don't put them drugs in ya. That's number one, drugs. It's a program for drug addicts, so don't take drugs if you're a drug addict in this program. None. Okay? And I'm speaking from the program. Don't put none in ya. But see, what I've learned in this program with our spiritual principles, which I'm gonna be talking about, and I can look in step one with a bunch of them in there, with honesty, open-mindedness, willingness, humility, and acceptance. We just don't say the words to these steps. We internalize these principles of these steps. I gotta live this stuff. That our message, I gotta live this stuff. Yeah, I can stop using drugs. Okay, I can lose that desire to stop using drugs. But I got to find a new way to live. You know, I can't live that dirty, nasty, greasy, filthy way that I was living in active addiction, not putting drugs in me, and call myself recovering. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it that way. And where's it going to get me anyway? But anyway, I talked about those spiritual principles in step one there. There's a surrender in step one that it talks about. It's starting in step one. You know, I can't do drugs anymore. I don't need to be in that lifestyle anymore. I don't need to go in that rink and know I'm going to get knocked down. So I need to surrender. I quit. I give up. The white flag's up. I can't do drugs anymore. And then it just talks about that surrender in step one. And I don't know, as my recovery has been going on, surrender does deepen. And then through all the rest of the steps, it deepens too. And I can surrender all being in this program. And it started in with a first step surrender. There's other things that I really love in step one with the unmanageabilities too. And our two unmanageabilities, inward and outward, that I love, that I just love, inward and unmanageability. And the thing about our program here is, and I don't want to judge or measure anybody, but I can see inward unmanageability in the rest of the world when people are screaming, hooping, hollering, cussing and fussing and fingers and this and that, that I learned here. Oh, they got inward unmanageability. They have no acceptance, no willingness, no humility, no surrender, no admission. That's why they're screaming, hooping, hollering, cussing, and fussing. Okay? I hear that. You know, and that's coming out of you. And I'm not judging anybody, because I can do it too. See? I can do it too, you know. But that's just the cool thing about having this program and steps and things like that. So step two, you know, with our coming to believe process, and members can get that twist and flipped it with things that are outside of our program that don't need to be in here. And I don't endorse anything or try to bring anything in here that don't belong in here. It's not written and designed for us to do. I don't. I've been here long enough to see our members mean well. They just mean so well with stuff. But I've been here long enough to see our members meaning well, very well, very well. And they have now, not deliberately or purposely, have now killed our members by them meaning well, giving them the wrong message, sending them the wrong message. It's important that I know what our message is. And with the coming to believe process, there's nothing that requires our member to be religious, to do our steps religious with religion and things like that. Nothing here that for us to do things that way. And you know, the thing with the go over your understanding, it's still left to the members, whether you want one or don't want one. You know, that's just on the member. And that comes to our coming to believe process. And I'm just one of them members too, and I'm just a stickler with the literature, our tradition, things like that. I just don't want, first of all, I wasn't sponsored that way. You know, my sponsor didn't sponsor me that way with stuff that's not in our literature, and he was just a stickler of keeping Narcotics Anonymous the way it is. And I'm still that way to this day. you know, all our stuff is our stuff, and we need to do keep this stuff in line and do it this way. And I'm cool with it too, because it's simple, it makes sense, and it's doable. I can do this thing, you know. But anyway, in that coming to believe process, and then I can look at the spiritual principles in our coming to believe process in step two, you know, having that humility, open-mindedness, willingness. Now we go into some kind of like trust and faith. Coming to believe. So what kind of trust and faith do I got? I trust this literature. I trust all this literature. It's written for us, by us, good for us, and we do recover. I can trust my sponsor. Bunch of you folks. I get high, we stay clean, you know. And I've had faith, and I was taught faith in here. And the faith is someone who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. And if all of you believe in me and want to help me in my recovery, bring it in. Bring it in. Bring it all in. Just come on in. And I know that simplifies a lot of things. I can see that humility in the first step. My recovery starting with humility and talking about it in the second step. And and that willingness and just being open and just learning in this process and just having that up and down solution with a step. So what is a step? That action preceding the improvement of a situation, a foot landing which we can ascend and descend. I like being able to go up and down in life with solution, spiritual solution too. I think I hit the jackpot here. I just wish the whole world had what we had here. But anyway, I need to move on in this solution. Step one, step two, step three, and talk about step three, you know, making that decision to turn my will and my life over to care of God as we understand stand him, stood him. And then that even sounds like some kind of religious ritual or something that I need to do. You know, we just opened this meeting, we reopened this meeting with our third step prayer, and guess what? It doesn't even start with God. That prayer doesn't start with God. We do got prayers in our fellowship that don't start with God. And remember, as we're back and forth with stuff, a prayer ain't a prayer unless it starts with God. I beg to differ. Can we do one more prayer, everybody together? I want all of you to take a great, big, deep breath together. Then exhale out. That's my no words at all prayer. No words at all. How about that? I don't think I'll go as far as to say, I bet you all can relate. Nobody can relate to that? Nobody? How about that? How about that? You can all relate. Making that decision. Our literature says that's probably the best decision that we've ever made. I can attest to that. And you think of turning your will and your life over to a care of something, and which is back to the members, to the individual and whatever choice they want to do that with. Like I says, our thirst of prayer didn't start with God. And I'm okay with whatever the members want to do. That's just on them as to how they want to do this thing and whatever. But I need to talk about, then I'm going to let you guys go, the spiritual principles in step three. And, you know, we have a hope that's there. See, I talked about our literature. And I'm so glad our literature doesn't have wings and legs on it. Or it can't fly away and walk away. It's always there for me, you know, at my disposal. If I want to read it, like whatever, it's always there for me. And it's been nothing but hope. This program has been nothing but hope from day one to this present day. Thing. Okay? Trust and faith is in there too. I talked about that surrender in step one. That surrender comes back there in step three. See, our surrender deepens. Deepening that surrender. Turning my will and my life over to. The literature says it needs to be sincere too. Whatever I'm doing, whatever decision I'm making, doing it needs to be sincere. Fake the funk, old monkey dunk don't work with that with me. I need to be, I'm talking about me, I need to be sincere with that when doing that. And because like it says, if I'm not, my recovery starts short-circuiting. See, those shortcuts. You know, I'll just skate around this and you know what I'm saying, and fake the funk monkey dunk, and I'm not gonna be like plugged in. See? Malfunctioning, short circuiting. It's not gonna work for me. Okay. Okay, I got the willingness, surrender. Oh, most important. I'm gonna leave you guys with this. That most important spiritual principle in that third step. Hold on, I'm gonna forget that one. Commitment. Commitment. Well, I have all kind of commitments here. My recovery has been maintained with commitments, you know, commitment to my higher power, commitment to the program, service commitments here, home group commitments here, commitments in life to people, to family, to this and that. And I learned the spiritual principle of commitment. And no matter what I'm committed to, it does have duties and responsibilities. I hope I can follow through with my commitments too. And you folks have taught me how to follow through with commitments. I learned that here in Narcotics Anonymous. I can honestly say not the world taught me commitments. You know, you better do this, you better do that, you know, I don't know what that was all about, but our spiritual principle of the following through, the duties, responsibilities, and just showing up in that. It's just so awesome. And for you folks, I'll leave you with this note. I hope you are committed to doing the rest of your steps, your traditions, and the rest of this program. And that's all I got.
Just take this. Thank you.
All right, to close, I would like to thank Jason and Phil one more time for sharing their experience, strength, and hope for us. Could we please have a reading of Just for Today at the podium, please? Or up here?
I'm an addict named Ron.
Hey, Ron.
Just for today, tell yourself. Just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery. Living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. And just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks for reading, Ron.
Doesn't say we.
All right, we have a nice way of closing. Yeah.
Good job, brother.
Thank you. All right, can we have a moment of silence for the still sick and suffering addicts, followed by the wee version of the Serenity Prayer? God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Did not feel right. It's not I do recovery. It's tell them it's we do.